أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم. I'm your host Nabil Awan. This is a topical discussion program that addresses the issues that matter to you. Brothers and sisters, I welcome you to the new dawn. Today's topic is a continuation of last week's discussion on Islamic activism, and more specifically the role of women in promoting the message of Islam. Today's show is entitled The Mothers of Tomorrow. With me in the studio are two sisters that are very active in this field. We have Sister Zainab Nuruddin and Sister Sayyida Jawad. Sister Zainab Nuruddin is currently reading for her degree in architecture and is a member of the Student Parliament, as well as a delegate on the National Union of Students, as well as being a very active member of Kawthar Youth. Alongside her is Sister Sayyida Jawad, who is representing the youth body of Milton Keynes as the events organizer. In her professional career, she is a biomedical scientist. We welcome you both to the show and hope you had a pleasant journey up.
Thank you.
Right, the discussion today obviously was inspired from something that we discussed last week. It was the final part of our discussion where we asked the brothers to discuss female activism and how females are able to take part in events promoting the message of Islam. Obviously, they were brothers, and there's no better people to ask than those people that are involved in it. So this is why the idea for this show came, and we thought we'd get two sisters in who would come and speak about this topic. So my first question really, and this is to you, Sister Zainab, is how important do you feel that women are in the progress of a community, and why?
Well, women make up half of society, so naturally their role in the progress of a community is very vital, as much as men's or even more, I would say. This is because they are very influential in the sense that they are the ones in whose care the children of tomorrow are raised, whose deeds can be a blessing to a community and can be an inspiration to perseverance, or it could be the exact opposite. So from that point, women are the educators of society, of communities generally. And that's why they should be well educated themselves. And
okay, excellent. Sister Sayyida, do you have anything to add to that point?
thank you very much for inviting me to the show, first of all. Add to Sister Zainab's comment, sisters of today are, as you rightly said, pioneering and sort of paving the way for tomorrow's children and the future for tomorrow. We as a community and different communities should give chances and should allow sisters the opportunities to actually get involved and be active, and which is one of the problems that we come across. So it's very important that sisters are given the chance. And if they are, undoubtedly they can do a lot in helping the progress of tomorrow's future.
Excellent. In our communities, well, I say our communities, I mean specific communities, because some communities are very good at mm-hmm. involving women. But within certain communities, women are marginalized or sidelined. Do you or any of your fellow female colleagues have experience of, you know, facing this marginalization?
I've heard of many women who've tried to take part in various activities and haven't been successful. Myself personally, I haven't had any such experiences as major as other people, but minor ones, as simple as something like during Muharram, wanting to recite our own nohas and asking the men to turn off the mic, and for years, you know, it wasn't sort of acknowledged by anyone until a male member of the community agreed, and then it sort of went through. So it does happen in communities, and women are sort of ignored a lot, not deliberately or purposely, it's just become the way that the communities have been formed, and this is something that needs to be addressed.
So what I'm getting from your answers is that there are women out there that want to be involved, and there are women that are getting involved, but there are some that are not. And this is a question that I posed to the brothers last week, and something that I highlighted in my summary. What are the causes for it? Is it cultural? Is it that, you know, women are too busy? Or is it purely apathy? Sister Zainab?
I mean, the reason for why they are being married?
Yeah, I mean, women that are not getting involved. You know, why? Because compared to men, we find that sisters are less active. Is it because they're not being given the opportunities? Or is it purely because, you know, they're apathetic?
I think it's a matter of superiority complex that the brothers need to deal with. They have this likeness to... They like to be in authority. So once a sister steps in and wants to take charge and, you know, organize events and be active in the community, they would feel as if they're pushed out.
Okay.
And I think that could be one of the reasons why, you know, mm-hmm. sisters are being marginalized.
Sister, would you like to add anything?
Yes, I'd like to just say a few points on this. A number of times, a lot of women do not get involved in various activities because they have duties where they're mothers and they have household to run. So they don't have the chance. Those women that do take the opportunity and sort of become more active, as Sister Zainab saying, on occasion do face the male population where, you know, they are...
Sidelined. Or marginalized.
Exactly.
Sister Zainab, you wanted to add something to Sister Sayyida's answer?
Just to clarify why we have those differences, where in some communities you have women are encouraged to take part, and other communities women are pushed out of, you know, that arena. I can speak for the Lebanese community here in London, and I feel that they're very much influenced by our activities back in Lebanon, which are based on the Islamic Revolution, where women were very much involved in everything, and, you know, politically, socially, they voted on everything, and Imam Khomeini, Qudsallahu Sirruh, he encouraged that to be. So I think probably that's why we have in the Lebanese community, we have this very much involvement of women in everything.
Okay, and talking about revolutions and talking about women's involvement, we have no better example than the example of Bibi Zainab al-Kubra and people like her mother, Bibi Fatima al-Zahra, salamallah alayha. What can our sisters gain from these luminaries in their interaction with society as well as in the home?
I think there is much to be said about these great personalities. Sayyida Fatima alayha salam teaches us how to open up with all our power to knowledge, to spirituality, and to dynamic attitude. She adopted many roles during her lifetime. For example, she earned the title of the mother of her father. She was known to be the teacher, the supportive and faithful wife, and the knowledgeable, the writer, the struggler, and most importantly, the orator. She was very much involved politically after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was, if we look back in history, she was alone in the mosque. She was alone with the women of Muhajirun and Ansar, and she was alone in the Medina arena. And she was also alone in all her political attitude and all her practical attitudes. With that, she legitimized Muslim women's participation in politics as an orator and as a dynamic opposition to what was happening at the time. So there is no better example to take but Sayyida Fatima alayhi salam, the best role model there is for women. If we just look at her life, look at how she dealt with problems at the time and with the issues, I think that would make us the best mothers of tomorrow.
So we take these examples, we have these great examples as you've highlighted. Why do you think it is that the males, even though they see these great figures and they see these great women that have contributed so much to the history of Islam, I mean, we could start way back from the time of Fir'aun and look at Bibi Asiya and then come to Bibi Khadijatul Kubra, come to Bibi Fatima al-Zahra, come to Bibi Zainab al-Kubra. And these people, we can go constantly throughout history and see this. But yet we find in certain communities, men still, although they understand their greatness, but still they marginalize their women. And I think somewhat is due to, is down to the perception that men have of women. Sister Sayyida, this question is actually for you. You know, what is the perception in your eyes of the males, of the females that are active within the community? So, I mean, what do the men think of those females?
if I was to talk about the community I'm from, that I belong to, the men in my community are very supportive, and they always promote women in getting involved, and they support them in any way possible. I don't know if I can add that a lot of the community is made up of a younger generation, whereby they have more sort of knowledge and they have gained this understanding that women do have the knowledge and intelligence to do things. Not to say that the older generation, you know, didn't, but they had a sort of a stereotypical view of women. So I think it as with age, as the younger generation comes along, they have more understanding. So in other communities, it's happening as well. It's a slow transition, but it is there.
So there are communities out there, though, even though yours is very supportive of the females, but there are communities up and down the country that do not appreciate women's role in the masjid, in society itself, and thus marginalize them as a result of it.
I would like to add that I think the stereotypical view that women should be left at home as housewives, take care of the house and the kids, and you know, that their duty is only inside the house. Mm-hmm. I think it's overemphasized, because Islam does say that the role of a woman as a wife and as a mother is a religious act in itself. But women are much more capable of just that. They can do this along with other social activities outside the house. And I think it's not just men who believe that or who try to show, you know, that they believe that. It's also women now. They believe that themselves. And if you tell them, you know, you can do this, you're capable of doing this, go out and, you know the stuff, just go and spread the knowledge that you know, she would be like, oh, but my place is at home. So it's even women now, they believe that themselves. So I think we need to educate women themselves to give them back the confidence in themselves that they can do it, and they should. Because Amr bil Ma'ruf is not just for men, it's for women. It's wajib on both men and women, enjoining good and forbidding evil. So I think that women do have a duty to go out. Even if, I mean, whoever's watching now, they should go and actually look into what they can do, because it is their duty. They will be held accountable on the Day of Judgment on what did they do to oppression that was in society. Did they just sit at home and, you know, let it be? Or is that how we're going to prepare for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi, ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif?
Just to add something to what Sister Zainab was saying, it's very important for women who do want to be active members of their community to actually stand up and try, because there's no point in wanting but not actually doing anything. And I know it's difficult because they fear sort of refusal, and they fear sort of people blocking them and sort of men, as we put it, you know, sidelining them. But it's important that we keep trying, and women are not put off with one failure or one disappointment. And once again, we can learn from Bibi Fatima, salamu alayhi, you know, she tried, she continued. She didn't give up on the first sign of failure. So that's very important for women to remember that.
Continuing on from your point about sidelining women, what do you think the reason for that is? Is it because women now have started to gain more Islamic knowledge and they're putting forward opinions and views that are Islamically valid, and then the men are now presented with a clash between their cultural values and a clash between their Islamic values?
That's a very valid point you're making, and it's one point that a lot of men don't want to face up to, and they don't want to sort of bring it up in conversation, because it's true, as you say. Women, as well as men, are getting more educated in Islam and general knowledge, you know, all around. We have more resources, we know a lot more. And so women, I find they have a quality where they are able to face up to their duties, to the truth, to their responsibilities, to all the negatives and the positives that they face. Whereas some men, not all, I'm not going to generalize, do, especially some men in authority, do have a tendency to push under the carpet something which doesn't go in their favor, and you know, overpower someone who is maybe opposing that. So, and then other men would follow. So I think that's a very valid point. Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, just to comment on what the sister just said here, I think that problem is everywhere, you know, where men try to take power mm-hmm. and then they put in power whoever agrees with their views. Mm-hmm. And I think we need leadership here in the UK. We need somebody to actually supervise everything. I know I might be asking for too much here, but that is something that, you know, that is missing from...
A leadership for men, or leadership for women, or leadership for the whole ummah?
Leadership, full stop.
Leadership, full stop. Yeah. We need a system of leadership in place. Yeah. We have too many small groups.
Too many politics. Too much politics.
Too much politics. Okay, excellent. And on that note, we're going to cut to our nasheed today. The nasheed is entitled Tawaf. It's been written by two artists, Nasri Hijazi and Yusuf Kamal. The graphics have been done by Hadi Shatila, and the subtitles have been brought to you courtesy of the Digital Martyr. We hope you enjoy it. This is Tawaf.
على كتفي من الأسرار ما يكفي لكي أسقي كفار الحزن من دمعي ومن قلبي بقايا الروح تمتل وتهمي مثل لؤلؤة على صافي فأتلوه وأتلوه كلاما لست أفهمه كأن حروفه صيغة بغير الضاد من حرفي وقد عرجت في حجي على الآيات أقرأها وأمهل ما تيسر مني خفايا النور في الحجم فذا باب ولا يحمي وذا إرث ولا يغني وتلك وصية عصياء لا تعفي من الكرب فمن آذى آذاني هي نفسي ونهر كوثر يجري ودمعي إن من همرا ومن أرضاها أرضاني على كتفي من الأسرار ما يكفي لكي أجثو على فمصطفى ببيت الحزن أطيافي وألفت حوله الأرواح خاشعة وأضحى الباب سجالا ضر الأخشاب سكينا ومسمارا يغور بعظمة الصدر فناديت المدى الأزلي أنا يا رب لا أدري أنا يا رب لا أدري أيجمع حوله حطب وتحت كسائه اجتمع نجوم الكون والطهر فصحت وضجت الأفلاك بالنوح أتذوي نجمة الأنس وتنزف قلبها نزفا وتلقى الله غاضبة أسرا يدفن الطهر ويسري نعشها المكنون بصمت دامع المقل كأن ضريحها الكون وضوء البدر في الأفق فإني حاسر الرأس أنادي الجوهر العلوي أنا يا رب محزون ومن أسرار صفوتك أرى أني أنا يا رب لا أدري لذا أمضي لذا أمضي لذا أمضي وأعدو خلف رياتي من الشرق تطلبني أنا يا رب ألمح أنا يا رب أكرهها
أرى إرثا لنا يدنو بلا دمع ولا خوف تمد يدا فيمسكها أيا زهراء يا أمي يا أمي
Welcome back. That was the nasheed entitled Tawaf. It was written again, like I said before, by two artists, Nasri Hijazi and Yusuf Kamal. The graphics were done by Hadi Shatila, and the subtitles were courtesy of the Digital Martyr. Returning back to our debate on women being active within the community and promoting the message of Islam, I have with me in the studio Sister Zainab Nuruddin and Sister Sayyida Jawad. Sisters, I'd like to continue the discussion and move it somewhat towards events and the actual arena of activism and getting involved in society. We have a hadith of the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam that says there are three stages of a woman's life. She starts off as the daughter, then she becomes the wife, and then finally she becomes the mother. With these stages in mind, at what point in a woman's life does activism start?
I personally feel that activism starts at the youngest age possible, where the girl is able to understand and recognize things. And it comes from the home. It starts with her mother, it starts with her father, her brothers, her family, community. It starts from her upbringing, what she's been exposed to, how she's been brought up, and how she has been taught to interpret all that. And it then will follow on into her adult life as a wife, then as a mother. And then she will then be able to bring those positive points that she has learned into the children of tomorrow.
I would just like to point out that there are two parts to this question. One is, when should the girl start her journey in activism, and when does she, you know, in today's society? First question, when should she? That obviously, like Sister Sayyida mentioned, that depends on the parents, how they raise their daughter. Well, I think activism is not just about organizing events. It's not just about speaking, public speaking, and all the rest of it. It's also about interaction, social interaction on a personal level. And that could be from the age of 9. I can speak from my experience when I was 8 and a half and I started wearing hijab. I was very excited that I was going to be wearing it because Sayyida Fatima wore it. And she had, you know, as a girl at that age, she had this imprint on my life that I just wanted to, I aspired to be like her. So eventually I wanted to do things that she did so that I would become like her one day. So obviously that would be that because of the way I was raised. So I'm just saying that the point that I'm making here is that activism should start from a very young age. But when does it actually start in today's society generally? I would say around the age of 19, that's when girls go to university, when they leave their comfort zone at school and they're exposed to the outside world. You find that at universities, they're encouraged to think for themselves, they're more responsible, they don't have somebody to spoon feed them anymore. And they see all sorts of people from different backgrounds. And which also answers your question about which arenas are available for women to get involved in. I think universities, as well as mosques and community centers, of course, universities give students a very solid platform for them to propagate Islam and for them to just mix with other people, interact, show what Islam really is. Because there are so many misconceptions about Islam, and if we don't clear them, then who will? But we don't have to. It's not just about organizing events, because in order to get people coming to your event at university, for example, they need to know you on a personal level first, to trust that, you know, the event that you're organizing is not going to be extremist or encouraging terrorism, because that's the view that they have. So until you gain their trust, that's when the movement starts on social level.
Okay, so within universities, within community centers, within mosques, and obviously this would then come back to the issue that we have to have these groups in place that go forward and promote this message. And again, we come back to the point of leadership, that there needs to be some sort of leadership, some sort of inspiration for everyone to aspire to.
Absolutely.
And why do you think we don't have those female role models? We'll move away from the focus from the men. Let's focus specifically in on females. Why do we not have those female role models in society today?
Because religion is absent from society today. You see that even in, I mean, I've just spoken to a British girl 2 days back, and she agreed that the British youth is very ignorant, and that's because religion has no place whatsoever. The religion is frowned upon, even though we're supposed to be living in a Christian country, but it's not really so. So that's why now girls, when they're looking for a role model, they look at celebrities. They aspire to be like their celebrities because they don't have the alternative. Whereas us Muslims, we have the alternative. We have the best role model. We have Sayyida Fatima alayhi salam. But clearly, our youth is getting influenced by the ignorant youth, which actually need our help. But I think that goes back to the role of mosques and local communities in educating the youth to prepare them for the bigger society, the wider society, and then who will be able to deal with those who actually need the guidance. If you look at the feminist movement, in essence, okay, well, it is good, but if you they get too carried away to the extent that it's become more about making women like men, to make them equal, but then they don't realize that we're making man the standard, but who said man is a standard? Us women, we have our strengths that men don't, and men have their strengths that we don't. So if each of us plays their own role, and for that we need a role model, in Islam we have Sayyida Fatima, and for men we have all the Imams and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If we follow that, then we will have a well-balanced society.
Yeah, just to add, it just goes back to what we were talking about earlier about where communities giving chance to girls to become more active. There are a lot of sort of women in our Muslim society, especially who are very educated and knowledgeable. But I find that sometimes it's the fault of them not being propagated and not being advertised as such properly that hinders their sort of being known as such. So once again, it falls back onto communities to give the chance to girls to then become these educated, well-known personalities, and then they can then use their community as a platform, get advertised, be called, and then be known further. So there are women out there, but it's just we don't actually know many of them. We haven't heard about them.
Sister Zainab, I just wanted to pick up on a point that you mentioned, and that was the feminist movement. If we're using a system or a social system which in itself is flawed, it's inherently flawed because it is not divine, as our benchmark, and saying, right, you know, because the feminists, they're saying this is good. Is there not a flaw within that way of thinking? Should we not be totally turning to the Quran and the Sunnah and saying, right, this is the life of the Holy Prophet. Forget what the feminists say. Sideline them. Okay, fair enough, they make a few valid points. But Islam has already made these points prior to it in a far more perfect manner.
Yeah, definitely. I absolutely agree. But I think that, you know, our young girls don't realize that because, you know, they're very influenced, especially in schools. They're very influenced by, you know, I'm powerful, I can do this, I'm capable, man is no better than me. And, you know, then they turn to such theories and such movements, which again goes back to communities who have a great role in educating the youth and on mothers. And on that, I would just like to say that some women, they assume that by having children and raising them, that's a job done. But they don't realize that raising their children is in itself a mission. It's not just about feeding them, making sure they go to school, and you know, growing up and being healthy and all that. Of course, that all is part of the package, but it's not the only part of it. There is another part where they are responsible for educating themselves. If not for themselves, then at least for educating their children, so that when they are old enough to interact with society, they are well equipped not to be influenced by such flawed systems.
Okay. You raised the point about celebrities and our young people being influenced by them. At what point, because obviously they're caught at a very young age through the TV, through newspapers, you know, through the media. At what point can someone be involved in, for example, community life? You spoke about university, that's at the age of 18 or 19. But prior to that, you know, at what age would you say is almost ideal to start getting the young girls involved in Islamic activism? For example, standing up for the rights of the oppressed, going out protesting, writing articles, or, you know, in fact, reading books, educating themselves and becoming Islamically active. You know, do we start doing it when they're 10, 12, or do we wait till they actually get to university, get out of their comfort zones, and then start thinking independently for themselves?
That would be too late.
That would be too late.
They would have lost their children by then. I believe there is a hadith for Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam that says, "Atrukuhum sab'a, allimuhum sab'a, wa sahibuhum sab'a." I'm not sure about the exact wording, but I believe that is the correct wording. Which means that children should be left alone for 7 years, let them explore, you know, their childhood and do what they wish. And then the next 7 years, which is from the age of 7 until the age of 14, that's when it's time to educate them. Unlike what many people think, that, you know, leave them until they reach an age where they can understand, meaning, you know, 13, 14. But according to Imam Ja'far Sadiq, that age will be too late. Because at the age of 14 is when you befriend them. So by that time, they have already prepared you, child, for society. He's already at a stage where he can be your friend. So I think if parents do follow that very simple hadith, then they might have a better chance at preparing their children for society and protecting them from influence, external influences of secular societies. And you know that during that second 7 years, it's not just about sort of like sitting them down in a chair and telling them this and that, you have to know this and this and that, and you have to go out in society and, you know, have this sort of etiquettes and mannerisms. It shouldn't be that way, because at the age they're still too raw to understand any of that. But I think the best way is to actually speak to them at their level. And here I can speak from my experience with my little brother. When he was around the age of 8 or 9, my dad used to say, okay, we'll encourage him to pray now, so we'll tell him to pray when it's prayer time. And he did that. But then sometimes I would notice that my little brother would say, oh, but I can't be bothered now. So I felt as if he's being pushed to pray. And obviously that's something to stop at. That is a problem, because by the age he reaches the age of, by the time he reaches the age of 12 or 13, when it is obligatory in him to pray, he might be put off by the whole thing and go astray, which is something that no parent would want for his child. So what happened is, a couple of years later, when he was around 10, we were sitting down and we were just discussing the benefits of Salat and the benefits of the effect of every part of Salat on the soul and physically on the person. And he had a lot of questions to raise. He asked about almost every detail in Salat. And when he got the answers, after that he started praying on time. He would wake up for Fajr, even if nobody else wakes up, he would wake up and wake the family up. So it just shows a clear contrast between how kids are when they don't understand why they do what they do, and when they understand what they're doing. They're doing it from, you know, their own will. And that's also a very good point to point out for mothers of and fathers of girls particularly, because they start wearing hijab at the age of nine. And I bet you most of them don't know why until they reach the age of maybe 15 or 14, 16. And at that time, I know that in British schools, that's when, you know, when they're doing religious studies, for example. And I mean, I speak from my experience as a religious studies student in GCSE. My teacher used to pose very extreme questions at me. He made me doubt my beliefs, and he made me question rather my beliefs. But if I weren't well prepared for them, I think I would have taken my scarf off. So okay. We need, you know, it's very important for girls to know why they're doing what they're doing.
So not telling them how to do it, but instead why.
Definitely why.
And then let them reach the conclusions that they make in the end. Obviously, at the same time, you're guiding them.
Yeah.
But never force them.
Never force them. But that doesn't mean that if they say, I don't want to wear hijab, for example, or I don't want to pray, that you leave them. Because on the Day of Judgment, you'll be held responsible for them at that age. It was your duty to explain to them. So just explore different ways and different paths to get the idea across to them, the message
across. Just to add to what Sister is saying, I think one of the best ways to do that is by the parents being the role model and doing what they are actually telling the children to do. And that way the children will then see, it's like wearing hijab. If the mother is not wearing hijab, then the daughter is. You know, if she's doing hijab herself, then the daughter will, you know, be following the mother anyway, then she can also explain why, and it all goes as one package. So practice what you preach, basically.
Because there are a lot of parents out there that don't particularly pray themselves, but yet they'll force their children to go to the mosque and say, no, you have to pray. Yeah, they have to go to the Islamic school, you know, on the Saturdays, the madrasa or whatever, and you have to pray. And mum and dad are at home, they'll drop their children off. And a lot of people do this. They bring their children, they drop them at the mosque, and they drive back home again. That's the sort of scenario I think you're trying to point to.
You're giving your children very mixed messages, and if they do fault at a later stage, then in a way it's not really their fault, because it's the message that they've received as a child that they've interpreted in such a way. So, you know, it's important that we need to correct ourselves for the children to follow properly.
I suppose the message that you'd get from that scenario is, when you're young, you need to pray, and when you're older, you don't need to pray. You just make your children pray. Although it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Okay, so if a woman you know, before you were mentioning that women should be involved outside the arena of the home, and they should be involved in education, they should be involved in the community centres and things. So if a woman doesn't get involved in the community and stays at home, does this mean that she has abandoned her responsibility to the community? Or is she just discharging her responsibility to the community in a non-public fashion? And in your opinion, and an Islamic point of view, is this valid?
Absolutely. It is their duty. But at the same time, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not test a person beyond their capabilities. But if you look at Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam, she was a mother, a wife to a warrior, a daughter, and above all that, she was active in society, politically. History states that she used to stay up all night praying for others, not even for herself, for others. If Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam sacrificed all that, then who are we to say that, oh, I need my 2 days of comfort at home, I need to relax, and you know, I've got the burdens of the family all week long, I want these 2 days, like in the weekend, to just relax and chill. Who are we to say that?
Just to add a few points, not disagreeing, but with a slightly different opinion. If a mother is not active, sort of taking part actively in the community, and she's at home with the children, as long as she is instilling the proper sort of fundamental and the foundation in the children, and explaining to them that, you know, what they should be doing, what they could be doing, and making sure that they have this understanding, it can still sort of be okay. I mean, you don't. If everybody was to get out and start actively taking part, then that'll be overpopulated. There'll be nobody, at home. So there's got to be a bit of a balance. But the basic sort of fundamental rule here is that as long as all the children have been taught importance of community, importance of actively taking part, importance of fighting for your right, etc. And then the parents can even go on to say and explain that, we don't actively take part, but we do this, or, we help, in the background in this. So it's just the understanding that you need to develop in the children. And obviously parents who do actively take part, it's great, because then the kids have something, more to look up to. But I sort of personally feel that it's got to be a balance, and, some people take part actively, some people... stay at home. It's still important. It's still important what they're doing is raising their children in the correct sort of way.
But do you think that if they're not educating themselves and gaining knowledge, that they will be doing their job as they should be by raising their children? Are they educating their children at least?
Well, I mean, what's the discussion here? Is it them gaining knowledge or education, or is it them actively taking part in the community and sort of propagating Islam, or what's is it?
But how if they don't get involved in the community? They won't develop on a personal level. They won't be the role models or the educators of their children as they should be.
I see your point, but for some people, just attending Thursday Dua Komel and the Friday lecture could be actively taking part.
That is actively taking part.
But for other people, it could be doing the lectures. It could also be organizing events.
Which is what I said, like
I think what we're trying to get here is just want to butt in here slightly. I think what you're both trying to say is women need to be more active. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, some women choose to stay at home and believe that they can instill those Islamic values to their children, who then will grow up to be active members of society. But I think what you're trying to say, Sister Zainab, is that women shouldn't stagnate. There should be this, at least a small spark that they're trying to improve themselves, and this then will pass on to their children, who will see that their mother is constantly trying to improve herself. She's reciting her salah, she's trying to push them to go to the masjid. She's in fact reading books. If nothing else, she's reading Islamic books. And they'll think, right, you know, our mother did this, our mother did this. Many people say that once they get older.
She can do that at home. She can do that staying at home.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I didn't say that she can do it from home. But women need to be politically aware of what's happening around them. So if they're always at home, and fair enough, if they're, you know, if they're watching the news, if they're reading books at home and all that, then that's great. You know, then they're doing their job in educating their children. But the problem is, there's mothers who will stay at home and actually read books. They would say to you, but they would also want to actually be in the communities. They're educated enough to want, they have that passion to be outside and play their role in the community. I'm not saying that they should abandon their children in those 2 days off in the week and go and do. No, obviously, everything should be in balance. Islam is about moderation. But that does not mean, that's the thing. You see what the view that you just expressed here, it's the exact view that I'm talking about, that women feel that their responsibility is done by them being at home and raising their children. It's more than just that. Because, like I said, it's just looking at Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam, isn't she our role model? So if Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam incorporated all that in her personality, then at least we should aspire to be like her. Nobody is perfect. I mean, I want to be like her, but am I being like her? Of course, I will never get to her stage, but I will try to be.
Of course, no, I agree. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I just feel that staying at home doesn't mean that they won't sort of be aware of politics, or they won't be aware of, you know, social issues and events and so. I mean, staying at home, it's not being caged up. It's, you know, they have their responsibility. They are fulfilling their responsibility at home as well as being aware, and then they could be passing that on to the children. But it goes ties into what you're saying, basically. Yeah.
So can I just say? Yeah. Can I just add that? I think here what we're not agreeing on, or rather what is confusing our discussion, is the definition of activism. Women could be active from home. I'm not saying otherwise. They don't have to go out and, you know, but I'm saying that for them, even just, if you think about it, anybody who has the will to learn and be active, like, you know, through the raising the children, that is being active. Through interacting with their friends, that is activism. Then they will also have the passion to take part in what's happening outside. And I think it is absolutely essential that they have a say in what happens in the community and what sort of community they live in. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, who's determining, who's making decisions? Men. But society is not just men.
Exactly,
it's men and women. And I don't think that we will ever get to a stage where we have overcrowded women population in communities. I hope we get to that stage, but I don't think we'll ever get to it. There are way too many men as compared to us.
Sister Zainab, a point that you're mentioning constantly over the duration of the show was the example of Sayyidah Fatima. Now, some would argue that, okay, Sayyidah Fatima was involved in politics, but that was the only one time when she went into the court to defend her right. All the other times she was inside the house, yes, the women would come to the house to learn from her, but she wasn't outside preaching in the masjid. She wasn't outside, you know, like Amir al-Mu'mineen was preaching amongst the people. In fact, she stayed within her house and was able to create a personality such that people would come to her to learn. What are your comments on that?
Okay, at that time, there was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now, we need to get involved in society because it should be balanced. Otherwise, if men only control what happens, then women's rights are not going to be protected. They're not going to serve women as, you know,
in the favor of women.
They're not going to serve in the favor of women, thank you. Whereas at the time of the Prophet, it was the Prophet of Islam. He knew how to create balance. He knew how he knew how to make a perfect society. And he knew how to enforce laws. He had the laws. He's the one who was executing the laws. So I don't think we can compare. Sayyidah Fatima, she had the right atmosphere for her to be protecting her in her own home. I wish we could have that here. I would be more than happy to stay in my own home and not let any man see me and be one of the best women. You know, as Sayyidah Fatima said, the best of women are the ones who don't see men, and women and men don't see them. So we would love to have that opportunity, but we don't.
So what you're trying to say is that although that time, that was a different time, and Islam obviously is a very fluid, very ever-changing religion, although its core values remain the same, but it doesn't mean that we can't integrate within a society such as the one that we're presented with here, living in the West. And, you know, obviously we're not going to say that women go out and take off their hijabs and, you know, you're truly liberated. Okay, it doesn't matter. Because people would argue that, you know, it's only the hijab of the heart that matters.
Look at the mess in our societies. Look at here in the UK, look at the mess that they're in. I mean, the most important thing to a 20-year-old girl, and here, I'm not generalizing, but, you know, the vast majority, tell them, can you actually have a proper intellectual conversation with them? No, you can't. And this is not coming from me. I've spoken to British girls, and they told me that this is a problem. It wasn't just me who noticed it. Even the educated British, which was why I said I'm not, you know, not all of them, but the vast majority, they can't have a proper conversation. You can't have a proper conversation with a person of that age because they have nothing to talk about. And that's because they are being brainwashed into thinking that liberty and freedom is degrading yourself, basically. Whereas Islam says, no, you are a human being. You wear your hijab, your physical hijab, as well as your social hijab, and there is nothing wrong with you interacting, you know, with men on a professional level.
Involved in society and making changes.
Yeah, because otherwise society does need, we need to make change happen, and that's not going to happen with us sitting at home.
Okay, we'll move on to my final question for both of you, really. And that is, for all the sisters that are watching this program, and all those mothers and all those fathers that have young daughters or daughters that are growing up, what advice would you give them to help them progress and become more active? Because obviously, both within your lives, Sister Sayyida, you're a professional, you know, in your professional life, you're a biomedical scientist, and Sister Zainab, you're studying at university, but at the same time, you're able to be Islamically active. What advice would you give to those parents and those young girls that are aspiring to have their daughters and for themselves to become more Islamically active?
To the mothers, I would like to say that you owe yourself the chance to be part of the community, and not just inside your house, but outside your house. It is your right, not just your duty, your right to actually experience feeling that sense of belonging, that you're contributing towards something that hopefully will become a success. You're contributing to preparing the nation of Imam Mahdi ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. You owe that to yourself. And don't listen to anybody who says your job is just to be at home and, you know, be the wife and the mother. It is your duty, but it is you've also got the right to be everything else too. To young sisters who would like to be actively involved, I would like to say to them that know that you're not alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, and through Him we're all interlinked. Through His divine throne we're all interlinked. So wherever you are, don't feel lonely that you know you're the only one on the right path, and everyone around you has different beliefs. Because if you remember what Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he said hayhat min al-dhilla, it doesn't mean that hayhat min al-dhilla when I have thousands of people with me. It means even if I'm left alone on the path of righteousness, I will stay by my beliefs and by my principles, and I'll be with you, Hussein. Even today, you know, when we say that, Ya laytana kunna ma'akum, we wish we were with you, to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Well, now we're with his grandson, Imam Mahdi, and he needs us. So for those who do want to get active, I would encourage you and know that, like I said, you're not alone. And for those who don't yet want to be active, the future relies on you. So get active.
Yeah, that was very correctly put, and I agree totally with Sister Zainab. Just want to add to that going back on what I said earlier on, that it's important that if you come across any failures, that you don't get put off by them and you persist and you keep trying. I also feel it's very important for the younger generation and also the sort of the parents to get advice from other places, organization, people, listen to people, learn from them, that may assist you in something you want to become active in doing. And for parents, it's very important that you respect your children, their thoughts, and you encourage them to think positively. And if they have any thoughts that you don't agree with, don't just brush them off. Discuss it with them. It goes a long way. And especially for fathers, because they tend to be closer to their daughters anyway. You know, there's always a father-daughter relationship. Any encouragement from a father goes a long way for a daughter. So fathers, you know, give your daughters a chance and support them in what they want to do.
I would just like to add a couple of things. First one is a hadith for one of our imams that says, dedicate third of your day. Dedicate a third of your day towards working or studying, in our case, a third towards your family and a third towards yourself. So it is very important to keep that balance in your life. Make sure you don't get carried away with social activities that you neglect your duties towards your family and especially towards your parents, your mothers and your mother and father, because they have that right on you. And also, be very, very careful not to lose your intention of that should be pure from all worldly desires, because it is very, very extremely easy to enjoy fame and forget why you're doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And in that case, all your hard work becomes, you know, with a worldly intention, it loses its thawab. So you'll be missing out, because you're going to be missing out on that delightful feeling of being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas if you remember every day, whenever you're doing anything whenever you're being socially active, remind yourself why you're doing what you're doing, and do it with the intention of gaining proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that will make it more enjoyable and more rewarding for you.
Excellent. Well, that's the end of today's show. I would like to thank you both for attending. It's been a great honor to have you here, and it has been a very lively debate, so we thank you for that. Our topic last week was about youth activism, but today we decide to concentrate wholly on the females and their role in promoting the message of Islam. Previously, we have found that women were kept within the house, and they thought that this was their role. Although the role of a mother cannot be downplayed by any stretch of the imagination. One great scholar was once asked that why are there no female prophets? His answer was, they have been given a task far more greater than the ones of the prophets, and that is the one of motherhood. They prepare the generations and the ummah of tomorrow. But in this current climate, in this society that we live in, our sisters need to take that step and move outside of the homes. While maintaining their hijab and their Islamic dignity, they need to go forward and show the world what the true message of Islam is and what the true role of women within a society is. They need to go forward and help the younger sisters and educate them, those sisters that are now being targeted by anti-Islamic ideals, both in the media and in society at large. Alhamdulillah, we find that many sisters are now taking on this duty, although we still see room for many more to come on board. And inshallah, today's discussion might have given some sisters out there that were looking for an avenue into Islamic activism some inspiration on how to get involved and what exactly they can do. As we heard, some old mindsets still exist in some communities, and we see that women's needs are not being met. They are still being marginalized. Men in these communities need to understand that only by working with the women will we be able to secure the future of the ummah, and that the girls today are in fact the mothers of tomorrow. Please join us next week for another topical discussion. If you have any comments or questions about this show or any of our previous shows, then you can email us at thenewdawn@themartyr.net. Finally, I'd like to thank my guests, Sister Zainab Nuruddin and Sister Sayyida Jawad, and you, the viewers at home. Take care of yourselves. I was your host, Nabil Awan. This was The New Dawn. Allah Hafiz. Masalam.
على كتفي من الأسرار ما يكفي لكي أسقي كفار الحزن من دمعي ومن قلبي بقايا الروح تنسل وتهمي مثل لؤلؤة على صافي فأتلوه وأتلوه كلاما لست أفهمه كأن حروفه صيغة بغير الضاد من حرفي
وقد عرفت في حجي على الآيات أقرأها وأمهل ما تيسر من خفايا النور في الحجم فذا باب ولا يحمي وذا إرث ولا يغني
وتلك وصية عصياء لا تعفي من الكرب فمن آذى آذاني هي نفسي ونهر كوثر يجري ودمعي إن من همرا ومن أرضاها أرضاني على كتفي من الأسرار ما يكفي لكي أجثو على ركبي
من الإجلال من نسبي
فمصطفى ببيت الحزن أطيافي وألفت حوله الأرواح خاشعة وأضحى الباب سجالا ضرى الأخشاب سكينا ومسمارا يغور بعظمة الصدر فناديت المدى الأزلي أنا يا رب لا أنا يا رب لا أدري.
أيجمع حوله حطب وتحت كسائه اجتمع نجوم الكون والطهر فصحت وضجت الأفلاك بالنوح أتذوي نجمة الأنس وتنزف قلبها نزفا وتلقى الله غاضبة أسرا يدفن الطهر ويسري نعشها المكنون بصمت دامع المقل كأن ضريحها الكون وضوء البدر في الأفق فإني حاسر الرأس أنادي الجوهر العلوي أنا يا رب محزون ومن أسرار صفوتك أرى أني أنا يا رب لا أدري
لذا أمضي وأعبو خلف رياتي إلى الشرق تطلبني أنا يا رب ألمح أنا يا رب أكرهها
أرى إرفا لنا يدنو بلا دمع ولا خوف تمد يدا فيمسكها أيا زهران